Chapter 10. The Jewish people and their relocation conflict. We just saw how the Vatican, right now, is trying to gain control of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and other holy areas to stage their play to create a one-world government and a one-world religion, just like Revelation 17 says. As one guy states, Jerusalem is a thermometer for measuring the nearness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more the tension rises between Jews and Muslims, and the more that the Catholic Church interferes in Jerusalem, the closer we are to this awesome, history-altering event. Stay tuned for the second coming of Jesus Christ. But, as we saw, somebody had to come along and mess things up for the Vatican. His name is President Donald Trump. The third reason why Israel has become a source of world conflict in the last days, just like the Bible said, is because of the relocation conflict. Let's go back to that text that explains why there's a conflict in the first place.
Zechariah 12:1-3. This is the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord, who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man within him, declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves.
In other words, again as we saw before, don't mess with Israel. But here we see clearly that God is not only going to make Israel a major ongoing problem on the world scene in the last days, but notice specifically where. Not once, not twice, but three times in just three verses God said this source of world conflict would be where? In Jerusalem. Not Tel Aviv, not Haifa, not even Beersheba, but specifically Jerusalem. And this is exactly what has happened in recent events with our current President Donald Trump. His acknowledgement of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, by moving the U.S. embassy there. Here's just one report.
Fox News reports. The U.S. embassy officially opened today. Listen to what Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had to say at today's ceremony. Benjamin Netanyahu. Last December, President Trump became the first leader to recognize Jerusalem as our capital. And today the United States of America is opening its embassy right here in Jerusalem. Thank you President Trump for having the courage to keep your promises. President Trump. We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem. Fox News. Trump making good on his campaign promise may unravel the peace process in the Middle East. Nabil Shath, senior Palestinian official. That totally destroys any chance that he will play a role as an honest broker. That takes away honest, takes away broker, takes away chaperone of peace, takes away the deal of the century and makes them beyond us, gone into the files of history. Fox News. Every U.S. president since 1948 has located the U.S. embassy in Tel Aviv to avoid igniting further conflict between Palestinians and Israelis over their shared land. Israel recognizes Jerusalem as its capital and welcomes the U.S. move. But Palestinians claim East Jerusalem as the capital of their future state. According to a royal statement, Jordan's King Abdullah II told Trump that moving the U.S. embassy will provoke Muslims and Christians alike. His concerns have been shared by Arab League and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas and leaders across the Middle East and Europe. There have already been protests in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. The U.S. consulate in Jerusalem has warned employees, their families and fellow Americans.
Of what? Of the conflict this decision has created. But as you can see, our president, Donald Trump, frankly had the guts to do what nobody else would do. Historically, he's the only one to pull it off. Then presidential candidate Bill Clinton promised to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to that city, but he didn't. Then presidential candidate George W. Bush promised to do the same but didn't. And of course, presidential candidate Barack Obama refrained from making any promise of recognition. Presidential candidate Donald Trump renewed the promise and did it. As one guy said,
the promises of Clinton and Bush proved to be insincere, meaningless hot air. Obama's unwillingness to take a stand signaled that he would become the most anti-Israel president in American history. But President Trump has kept his promise, and he is to be commended for doing so. He made his proclamation on December 6, 2017, and in it he stated, "This recognition is nothing more or less than a recognition of reality. It is also the right thing to do. It's something that has to be done.
Why? Because as we saw before, Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish people and it has to come back into play on the world scene in the last days. Bible prophecy tells us that is where Jesus is coming back to set up shop and rule and reign over the entire planet in the millennial kingdom. So, what President Trump did was the right thing to do both politically and prophetically. One guy puts it this way.
In other words, it's a slap in the face. So here comes President Trump saying, that's a bunch of baloney. And he does the right common sense thing.
In fact, back in May of 2017, President Trump showed even more support of Israel and the Jewish people by becoming the first sitting president to visit the Western Wall while he was in office.
CBSN reports. While President Trump will be making history in the Holy Land, he will be the first sitting president to visit the Western Wall. It is considered the most holy site in Judaism. The wall, in the disputed Jerusalem, is the holiest site where Jews can pray. Trump appears to slip a prayer or note between its stones, as is custom. It's his first visit abroad as president, which has drawn controversy.
In other words, conflict, which again is the theme of the prophecy we opened up with, but it didn't conflict with the Jewish people. Their transportation minister is now naming the new Western Wall train station after Trump.
Transportation Minister Israel Katz said, "The Western Wall is the holiest place for the Jewish people, and I decided to call the train station that leads to it after President Trump, following his historic and brave decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel."
In fact, the bulk of the Jewish people are absolutely thrilled with Trump's decision and they are repeatedly saying that it comes with prophetic implications.
Israel rabbis. A group of 250 Israeli rabbis sent a letter to President Trump thanking and praising him for his decision. Specifically, they said, "We are confident that you will be remembered in the history of the Jewish people forever as one who stood at the forefront and was not afraid. You are fulfilling prophecies. You will be remembered in the history of the Jews' people. We are privileged to be seeing the rebuilding of Jerusalem," wrote the rabbis. "Children play in its streets, Zechariah 8:4, and we are confident in the fulfillment of all the prophecies. With this recognition, we see the fulfillment of another step in the completion of the prophecy of Isaiah that the nations of the world will recognize the centrality of Jerusalem," said Rabbi Eliyahu. Rabbi Asaf Fried, an official spokesman for the United Temple Mount, saw Trump's action as similar to the role played by the Persian king Cyrus, who ended the Babylonian exile and helped with the building of the Second Temple. Israel leaders. Benjamin Netanyahu. The Prime Minister of Israel received the President's proclamation with great joy and appreciation, saying, "The President's decision is an important step toward peace, for there is no peace that doesn't include Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel." He then added, "President Trump has inscribed himself in the annals of our capital for all time. His name will now be linked to the names of others in the context of the glorious history of Jerusalem and our people." Netanyahu then likened President Trump to the Bible's King Cyrus, the Persian king who rescued the Jewish people from Babylonian captivity, a comparison that some evangelicals have been making since Trump's election campaign. This is also why some would say it is significant that President Trump is the 45th American president and that the prophecy about King Cyrus delivering the Israelites from captivity appears in the 45th chapter of Isaiah. As one person stated, "You can't make this stuff up." But be that as it may, Cyrus is the only Gentile in the Old Testament who is called anointed by God, and evangelicals who subscribe to this belief say that Cyrus is a perfect historical antecedent to explain Trump's presidency, a non-believer who nevertheless served as a vessel for divine interest. And this is why even President Trump admitted that evangelicals seem even more excited over his decision than the Jews. TBN exclusive, Mike Huckabee interviewing President Trump. The embassy was moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I was there. It was as surreal a moment as I have ever witnessed. You made that promise, you kept that promise. What was it that made you do? What other presidents promised as well? What made you decide that I'm going to do this because I said I would? President Trump. Well, the embassy was a big thing, as it was for many presidents before me. Everybody campaigned that they would move the embassy to Jerusalem and nobody did it. And I never understood why. I never did. I knew there would be pressure, but I never understood. But I do understand now. Because 2 weeks before I did it, the word was out that I was going to do it. I was called by so many countries saying please don't do it. It had actually got to a point where I said I will call you back in a week. Because I didn't want to hear them say don't do it, and I do it. It was a campaign promise that I thought was very important. And you know who really likes it the most is the evangelicals. I get more calls of thank you from evangelicals, and I see it in the audiences, and everything else than I do from Jewish people. The Jewish people appreciate it, but the evangelicals show more appreciation than the Jews. It's incredible. Mike Huckabee. It's not a surprise, Mr. President, because evangelicals are the people of the book, and they believe that you kept a promise that was fulfilling a 3,000-year commitment to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. President Trump. I think it was a nice thing to say because it really affects Jewish people in theory more, but as you say, people of the book. People of the Bible, but the evangelicals really appreciate it, and that makes me feel good. Nobody did it, I never could understand why. As soon as that second week was up, and I did it, it was something very special, it was an important event.
Jerusalem became the capital city of the Jewish people some 3,000 years ago when David conquered the city from the Jebusites, 2 Samuel 5:6-7. During the 1,878 years that the Jewish people were evicted from the land, 70 AD to 1948, Jerusalem never served as the capital of any Arab or Muslim nation. And when the Muslim leaders of the Middle East say they want a two-state solution, they are lying. Their desire is not simply a separate Palestinian state. Their goal is the annihilation of Israel. Gaining a separate Palestinian state would serve only as a stepping stone toward their final attack on Israel, just as they have used their acquisition of Gaza as a launching pad for missiles. This is the reason why Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has often said, "If the Arabs put down their weapons today, there would be no more violence. But if the Jews put down their weapons today, there would be no more Israel." The steadfast refusal of most of the world's nations to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and move their embassies there is an incredible insult to the Jewish people. It is really an expression of anti-Semitism, since no other nation has been treated in such a horrible way. It is equivalent to some nation saying to the American people, "We do not recognize Washington, D.C. as your capital, so we are going to place our embassy in Chicago."
Why? Because it's part of Bible prophecy and evangelicals know it. Jerusalem has to be the capital of the Jewish people in the last days because that's where Jesus Christ is going to come back and set up shop and rule and reign over the entire planet in the millennial kingdom. And President Trump is acknowledging that, and it's happening on TV right now. It's wild. But as you can imagine, and or have already seen in the media, there's a ton of people all over the world, including the Pope, who are upset over Trump's decision adding to the conflict.
Ayman O'Day, the Israeli Arab political leader in the Israeli parliament, declared, "Trump is a crazy pyromaniac who is capable of setting the entire region on fire with his madness." Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, provided a typical bureaucratic response when she characterized Trump's move as unhelpful to peace in the region. Emmanuel Macron, the new Prime Minister of France, dismissed the announcement as a unilateral decision. The Arab League denounced the decision, calling it dangerous and unacceptable, and a flagrant attack on a political solution. They proceeded to call upon the nations of the world to recognize the state of Palestine and East Jerusalem as its capital. East Jerusalem includes the Old City, which is the location of the Temple Mount and the Western Wall. The Palestinian Authority. Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the PA, denounced the decision, saying that it would motivate extremist groups to wage holy war. The chief Palestinian negotiator, Saeb Erekat, said Trump's decision disqualified the United States to play any role in any peace process. He added, "President Trump just destroyed any policy of a two-state solution." Recep Erdogan, the president of Turkey, said his country would not tolerate the recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. "Jerusalem is our red line. Any steps against Jerusalem's historic status and holiness are unacceptable." Pope Francis, Even the Vatican and Pope Francis got in on the negative response to Trump's decision.
Pope Francis slammed President Trump for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and said, he cannot silence his deep concern over President Donald Trump recognizing the disputed city as Israel's capital. Then he called for all to honor United Nations resolutions on the city, which is sacred to Jews, Christians, and Muslims. As one guy said, Pope Francis obviously needs to spend more time reading his Bible and less time appeasing radical Islam.
But here's what was on the video.
Leaders around the world have warned against the United States' decision to declare Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Stefan Dujarric, United Nations spokesman, and we always have regarded Jerusalem as a final status issue that must be resolved through direct negotiations between the two parties based on relative security resolutions. Federica Mogherini, the European Union supports the resumption of meaningful process towards a two-state solution.
We believe that any action that would undermine these efforts must absolutely be avoided.
Nabil Sharth, senior Palestinian official, President Trump will have destroyed every chance to get the deal of the century that he has been talking about. Sigmar Gabriel, acting German foreign minister, a solution to the Jerusalem problem can only be found through direct negotiations between the two parties.
Everything that worsens the crisis is counterproductive in these times.
Theresa May, British Prime Minister, Jerusalem should ultimately form a shared capital between the Israeli and Palestinian states.
That is, we continue to support the two-state solution.
We recognize the importance of Jerusalem and that position has not changed. Ahmed Abulghit, Arab League Secretary General, proceeding with this is dangerous, would have consequences. King Abdullah II, King of Jordan, there is no alternative to the two-state solution and Jerusalem is key to any peace agreement and key to the stability to the entire region. Haider al-Abadi, Iraqi Prime Minister, this move would unleash turmoil in the region and the world alike. The US's decision will also have a prejudice against the rights of Palestinians, the Arab and Islamic world.
Binali Yildirim, Turkish Prime Minister, either way, this will be an unlawful decision and the ongoing problems in the region will reach a stalemate.
Naftali Bennett, Israeli Education Minister, Jerusalem has been the Jewish capital for 3,000 years.
It was never, and will never be the capital of anyone else.
Pope Francis, I make an urgent appeal to everybody to respect the status quo of the city, in accordance with the pertinent resolutions of the United Nations. Worldwide response: in Times Square there were chilling calls to massacre Jews after Trump's announcement followed by explicit, blood-curdling calls for violence against Jews. First the Muslim chants began with the regular angry anti-Israel flavor but soon took on a different tone as the crowd began calling for a Muslim holy war against the Jews. The chanting began with, "We don't want no two-state, we want 48. This is an explicit refusal of the two-state solution, which would create a Palestinian state. The number 48 is a reference to the 1948 United Nations partition plan which led to the modern state of Israel. Then the crowd began chanting an even more insightful slogan, "With spirit and blood we'll redeem Al-Aqsa, there is only one solution, Intifada revolution." Al-Aqsa is the mosque on the Temple Mount, and Intifada means a violent confrontation. Then the rally got really ugly when the crowd began calling not only for an end to Israel, but for a massacre of the Jewish people. Demonstrators started chanting, "Jews remember Kaaba, the army of Muhammad is returning." Kaaba was the name of a Jewish-majority city about 90 miles north of Medina in Saudi Arabia which existed in the time of Muhammad. Muslims slaughtered the city's Jews in 628 AD and thus is used as a battle cry when attacking Jews or Israelis.
Here's what the video shows us.
People are gathered in the street and anti-Israel protesters calling for violent intifada against Jews. Our message to the Palestinian Authority, you have to stop all kinds of peace processes.
No peace process and negotiations with the occupation in Palestine. Oslo has to be stopped and to be finished. We have to start a new intifada. 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 Intifada.
With our souls and our blood, we will redeem you, O Al-Aqsa.
The Palestinian vanguard, with their incredible courage. The Palestinians fight with whatever they can.
They fight with rocks, they fight with rockets from Gaza, they fight with guns, their children fight.
Every single Palestinian is in it to win it.
We should be just as angry that they, the US, have an embassy in Tel Aviv or Jaffa as we are about Jerusalem, because every inch of Palestine is Palestinian land. It is up to all of us here, including everyone in the crowd, to keep this resistance going, if we want to see Israel fall within our lifetime. Kaibar, Kaibar, O Jews, Kaibar, 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 O Jews.
The army of Muhammad will return. The army of Muhammad will return. The army of Muhammad. The army of Muhammad.
Now what's wild is the Jewish writer writing this article concerning this video admitted the prophetic significance of what was taking place. He quoted, Jeremiah 29:18, I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, a curse and an object of horror and hissing and scorn among all the nations to which I shall banish them. Then there was a rally in front of the U.S. Embassy in London where approximately 3,000 pro-Palestinian protesters began by chanting down down USA and hands off Jerusalem, but the chants quickly became Kaibar Kaibar, Ye Yahud, Jish Muhammad, Si Yahud. Then a rally in Vienna erupted centered around the Arabic call to kill the Jews. On the same night, a rally of 200 pro-Palestinian protesters in Malmo, Sweden culminated in a call to shoot the Jews. The rally was followed by 20 men firebombing a nearby synagogue, trapping several people inside the building, and then firebombing a Jewish cemetery. Then the Islamic Al Jazeera network shared its readers' response to the embassy move to Jerusalem.
Ayah Muhammad, Jerusalem is the capital of my country Palestine forever, even if this stupid clown with yellow hair announced the opposite. Jerusalem was, is and will be the capital of Palestine. Marcella Yeager, Jerusalem is the city of peace for all three Abrahamic religions. Trump has no respect for that and would rather ignite a war for his own political purposes. Get this clown out of the White House. Meg Merm, for me, Jerusalem equals Palestine's capital. I don't even recognize the existence of the criminal and Hitlerian state of Israel. Amru Zulkifli, it's important to the three faiths, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. So, what about mark it as international zone where every people can visit?
No need to be selfish.
No need to make people think, ooh, we're now in Jewish capital? Just let it be capital for Abrahamic religions.
Then headlines erupted all over the world.
Palestinian envoy says U.S. recognition of Jerusalem is declaring there. Gaza burns U.S. and Israeli flags ahead of Trump recognition of Jerusalem. Trump to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, sparking Arab Day of Rage plans. Turkey's President Erdogan calls for an Islamic summit next week on Jerusalem.
Iran will not tolerate Trump Jerusalem violation.
Iran warns of intifada against Israel. Arab world blasts Trump's announcement on recognition of Jerusalem as
Israel's capital.
Saudi Arabia King Salman warns against embassy move to Jerusalem. The United Nations, the entire UN followed suit by passing a non-binding resolution that condemned Trump's recognition of Jerusalem. That vote was 128-9, and later it voted again, 14-1, to condemn Trump's decision. Even Britain got in on the action. Britain joined 13 other members of the UN Security Council to vote in favor of a resolution calling for Donald Trump to rescind his declaration that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, showing the depth of global opposition, i.e. conflict, to the move. The United States cast its first veto in more than 6 years to block the Egypt-drafted resolution. And Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, denounced the resolution as an insult and it won't be forgotten, and as she said prior to this kind of behavior, we're taking names. CBSN News reports, President Trump has issued a warning to members of the United Nations that he is watching very closely. On Thursday's vote of his decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and according to a letter issued by U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley obtained by CBS News, the president and the U.S. will take this vote personally.
Haley also tweeted, at the UN we're always asked to do more and to give more.
So, when we make a decision, at the will of the American people, ABT where to locate our embassy, we don't expect those we've helped to target us. On Thursday there'll be a vote criticizing our choice.
The US will be taking names. Will those in favor of the resolution contained in Doc. S/1027/1060
please raise their hand?
The count was taken.
Thank you, those against. The hands were counted when included Nikki Haley.
14 votes in favor, 1 vote against.
the General Assembly is now voting.
The US, as it held off the United Nations, sent off a stinging rebuke for its decision to recognize Jerusalem as the Israeli capital. In an act of defiance, 128 countries called on Washington to withdraw its recent move. Ambrose Nikki Haley insisted nothing had changed. Nikki Haley, to its shame, the United Nations has been a hostile place for the sake of Israel. Both the current and the previous Secretary Generals have objected to the UN's disproportionate focus on Israel. It's a wrong that undermines the credibility of this institution and that in turn is harmful for the entire world. I've often wondered why, in the face of such hostility, Israel has chosen to remain a member of this body, and then I remember that Israel has chosen to remain in this institution because it is important to stand up for yourself. Israel must stand up for its own survival as a nation.
But it also stands up for the ideal of freedom and human dignity that the United Nations is supposed to be about.
Standing here today, being forced to defend sovereignty and the integrity of my country, the United States of America, many of the same thoughts have come to mind. The president's decision reflects the will of the American people and our right as a nation to choose the location of our embassy.
There is no need to describe it further. Instead, there is a larger point to make.
The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation.
We will remember it when we are called upon once again to make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations.
And we will remember it when so many countries come calling on us, as they so often do, to pay even more and to use our influence for their benefit.
America will put our embassy in Jerusalem. That is what the American people want us to do, and it is the right thing to do. No vote in the United Nations will make any difference on that.
Her comments were met with appreciation by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Thank you, Ambassador Haley. On Hanukkah, you spoke like a Maccabi. Refers to one of the Maccabees derived from the Hebrew word, Makkabah, meaning hammer, you lit a candle of truth. You dispel the darkness. One defeated the many. Truth defeated lies. Thank you, President Trump. Thank you, Nikki Haley. He tweeted. Israeli Ambassador to the UN Danny Danon blasted the resolution saying, members of the Security Council can vote another 100 times to criticize our presence in Jerusalem, but history won't change. While the Jewish people celebrate the holiday of Hanukkah that symbolizes the eternal connection to Jerusalem, there are people who think that they can rewrite history, he said. It's time for all countries to recognize that Jerusalem always was and always will be the capital of the Jewish people and the capital of Israel. And of course, this instigated the newly reinstituted Jewish Sanhedrin to give their stern warning to the UN and world behavior. In a special session of 71 elders, the court of the Sanhedrin called on the nations of the world to take their prophesied role in building Jerusalem by not voting against the declaration of President Trump in the United Nations, emphasizing that this was an auspicious moment that will decide their fate, whether for blessing or curse. The declaration reads, "The nations should now take this opportunity to advance their required role in building God's house in Jerusalem, the house of universal peace, on Mount Moriah, as prophesied in the Bible in order to bring about the long-awaited world peace. Nations that vote for this evil decree via their representatives are instruments of destruction and their fate is sealed, as has been the case throughout history for those nations who have chosen the path of evil. The nations that support the U.S. President's declaration will gain merit. We emphasize that this vote does not affect the prophecies concerning Jerusalem as the city of God since God's word is eternal. It is Jerusalem's fate to be a light unto the nations. Any nation that desires life will act intelligently and support the declaration of the United States." Rabbi Hillel Weiss, the spokesman for the Sanhedrin, explained the proclamation in simpler terms. Every child who learns the Bible knows that if you bless Israel, you will be blessed, and if you curse Israel, you will be cursed, citing Genesis 12:3. He also explained that Israel is God's tool in this world for testing the hearts of men. By their actions towards Israel, men and even entire countries show their feelings towards God. Right now, the world is being called upon, nation by nation, to display this. And of course, the Jewish article ended by quoting, Zechariah 12:3, "When all the nations of the earth gather against her. In that day, I will make Jerusalem a stone for all the peoples to lift, all who lift it shall injure themselves." Gee, where have I heard that before? In other words, Israel and specifically Jerusalem will be a source of world conflict in the last days. The Bible says, at the end of the age, God will set the stage for the final fulfillment of Bible prophecy by making Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the nations surrounding it. And it's happening right now. As one person said, as you can see, Condemnation for the president's decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and move the embassy there is widespread, virtually coming from the entire world. And that's exactly what the Bible said would happen. Ever since our president did that, the nations around the world are trembling over that issue and that announcement. Which means we're watching Bible prophecy happen right before our eyes. One that was written nearly 2,500 years ago. And, some would also point out that President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital was 50 years since Israel recaptured the city of Jerusalem in the Six-Day War back in 1967. Some would say since every 50 years in Israel is a Jubilee year, this action certainly fits because the Jubilee year is where all the land automatically returns back to the original Jewish owner. Coincidence? I don't know, but one person gives the reason for this conflict.
What our political leaders have failed to understand is that the Israeli-Arab conflict is not a political one capable of a political solution. It is, instead, a spiritual conflict that can be traced back 4,000 years to the time of Abraham when his family split between the descendants of his two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Ever since the re-establishment of the State of Israel in May of 1948, the nation has been the focal point of world politics, and the status of Jerusalem has been the center of the controversy. The United Nations originally wanted to internationalize the city. The Vatican has laid claim to it. The Arabs demand that they be given exclusive sovereignty over it. The European Union, joined today by the UN, wants to divide it between the Jews and the Arabs. And President Trump's act of recognition has inflamed the debate and the hatreds that are rooted in satanic antisemitism. In that regard, his action has led to a partial fulfillment of Zechariah 12 2-3, but not to its complete fulfillment. The fulfillment of the prophecy must await the day when all the nations of the world, including the United States, turn against Israel. That reality means we have two possibilities: one, that Trump will ultimately reverse course, or two, that a successor will do so. But either way, this is a conflict that will only be resolved when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, returns to rule over all the world from Jerusalem.
Wow. And that's why you can turn on the news and read in all the newspapers, even with our current administration, how Israel has indeed become an international global problem, a center of world conflict, including Jerusalem. Exactly like the Bible said would happen when you're living in the last days. Folks, this is why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, tribulation rising concerning the Jewish people and the Antichrist, to show us that the 7-year tribulation is near, and the return of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. That's why Jesus himself said.
Luke 21:28, "When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near."
Like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising all around us. It's time to wake up. So, the point is this. If you're reading this today and you're not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings, give your life to Jesus now. You don't want to be here when God pours out his judgment upon this planet. It's the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. The only way to escape is through Jesus. Take the way out now before it's too late. Get saved today. But if you're reading this today and you're a Christian, then it's high time we stop goofing off, getting distracted with this world. Let's get busy working together, sharing the gospel with as many as we can. Let's leave here being living for Jesus and longing for his soon return. Amen?